Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, you're about to listen to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, which is sponsored this week and produced by GoFasterStripe.com. It's a fantastic website where you can buy DVDs by Sean Hughes, Miles Jupp, Simon Munnery, John Cage. I think Stuart Lee's involved in that one. Stuart Lee, Robin Ince, and loads of other people. And at this moment, they're having an insane sale. Chris Evans, not that one, who runs Go Faster Stripe, has literally become mentally ill. It's quite sad, but because he lives in Cardiff, nobody has noticed the difference. It's tragic, really. He should be helped. But don't go to the website because he has gone mad and he has a sale on. And you can buy a lot of my previous shows on DVD. Ridiculously low prices. You can buy The Headmaster's Son, usually £15, now just £6. What's going on? You can buy Oh Fuck, I'm 40. You used to be £15, now it's just £6. What? You're eating me out of house and home, Chris Evans. What are you doing? You can buy Menage a Un and The 12 Tasks of Hercules Terrace. Those are just £4, as is Collings and Herring, The Best of Earth, Wind and Fire. Usually £12. Today, it's just £4. And there are lots of others from Baba Brinkman, the actor Kevin Eldon, Simon Munnery. There's a film called Peacock Season, Robin Ince and Lucy Porter. And I think the Talking Cock book is also going on there. He's gone nuts. What's happening? Go to www.gofasterstripe.com/sale for all these bargains. And don't buy anything because I need the proper money. So, or you could buy just regular DVDs at full price from gofasterstripe.com. Now let's enjoy this week's podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who isn't even the go-to guy when they're looking for someone with his face. It's Richard Herring! Hooray! Hello! Oh,
I can tell already you're much better than last week's audience. I can tell that already. So I can tell just from the start. This is Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But someone just came up to me just backstage and said, you know what I call it now instead of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast? I call it Rahelestapa. Oh, it's catching on. Let's have a quick chat to the audience. Our guest this week has to dash off to do a proper gig. So look at this man looking down at the floor. That's what he's looking. So if I leave thinking, if I look down, Rich won't pick on me. That is my... If I act like a kind of... What's that animal that puts its head in the sand? I want to say stork. Thanks, Andy. You're really helping. I'm acting like a stork. That's why. I'm going to make some margarine down here and hope no one... What's your name?
Teo.
Pardon?
Teo.
Teo, like the... Well, like the Irish crisps. I know there's a tato. The first when I went to, Berlin. I'm really fucked. I don't know what's wrong with me. When I went to Belfast last weekend, the first thing you see when you get off the plane is a vending machine saying tato on it. Thinking, welcome to Ireland. Have a potato, Teo. That's nice. What do you? That's like. Are you the child of hippies? Yes, yes, I got that. But you now work in computers. What's that? Yeah, what's that? How did that happen? Is that rebelling against... Yeah, you were rebelling. I'm like a psychic, aren't I? It's amazing. You're thinking, you've not been before. How's he doing this? It's just, that's everyone who comes. So what do you do with computers, IT?
I'm a business analyst.
You're a business analyst, which is IT, isn't it? It's the same thing. What's the best business you have ever analysed? And what was it good compared to? It's a hard question. What's the most exciting thing that's happened to you this week?
I got lost in Putney and had to spend an evening in a hotel.
You got lost in Putney and had to spend an evening in a hotel? Is that what he told you? Is that what he told you to happen? And then a man jumped on me and bit me all over me and scratched me and ravaged my penis so it looks like a little nub. How did you got lost in Putney? You could just say, where am I and how do I get to the tube? You missed the train. So there's buses from Putney or a cab. It's not like, you could just walk over the bridge. I run down Putney. You know, part of the film Sliding Doors is filmed in Putney. When you look at it now, it's that when they drive, there's rowing. He's a rower. I'd forgotten. I just watched Sliding Doors last weekend again to punish myself. I'd forgotten that the guy, as well as reciting Monty Python sketches, which would mean you'd never get a girlfriend, he's also a rower, which means you would never get a girlfriend. And he doesn't look like a rower. Anyway, that's look out for that next time you're in. Are you going to go back to Putney or are you scared? Where did you stay? Whereabouts in Putney did you stay? You got to Earl's Court. Then you thought, right, well, I'll never get back to civilization tonight from here. Were you very drunk? Is that what was happening? You were a bit drunk. And what's your name? You seemed nervous as well. And you hadn't learned that that's what I pick up on that. It's like, what's your name? Nikki. And you with Teo? Are you married to him? No, don't get married. He can't even find his way out of Putney. So what do you do for a living?
I work in construction.
You work in construction? I'm astonished. I also thought of something so appalling to say that I really, it was terrible. It was genuinely awful, I thought. And I nearly said it, and then I thought, thank God I didn't say that. Do you actually do building yourself, or do you design buildings, or do you just order the bricks? Is that what you do? Okay, that's good to know. I was excited. I thought you were like a builder. Have you ever built a thing? If I had some bricks and said, could you make a wall, could you do that? Yeah, that's good enough for me, because I can't... You wouldn't sit on it. Well, I'm not going to sit on it, it's a wall. I don't think I am. I'm not Humpty Dumpty, am I? I'm a human being, I'm not an egg. I said egg. So, let's crack on, because our next guest has to go off, as I said, do a proper gig. He's a proper working comedian. You may have seen him. He is best known for his appearance on Spicks and Specks. He's also been on Spicks. Like our last week's guest, he's been on Spicks and Specks, and we didn't talk about that last week. So you are assuming, and actually what he said, Brendan Burns, you would assume he was a disablest. But I don't think Spicks and Specks has anything to do with that. Will you please welcome the amazing James Acaster, ladies and gentlemen. James Acaster, coming in. Here he is. sit down. Pick up a microphone.
Thank you.
If you want to find out about the badminton match that James has just paid, you'll have to pay £1 a month to watch it. It's really good. It was really amazing. What is Spicks and Specks? It's because that's what you're best known for, but yeah, people will want to know what it is.
Spicks and Specks is an Australian panel show about music, where you're encouraged by the producers not to be, I quote, all mean like on Buzzcocks. They're very anti, never mind the Buzzcocks on Spicks and Specks. Yeah, they're like, so mean on Buzzcocks, they're so bullying. Everyone's bullies on it. And don't be a bully. Yeah. Just be nice and be supportive. And then you kind of sit there as an English comic going, I don't know why they think I'm going to be bullying and stuff. And then you listen to everyone else on the panel being nice and you think, are these soft bastards? You genuinely get a little bit like, so, why
do you just
being
have to
so
go,
nice?
I really like all music and all musicians.
It's really weird how, like, suddenly you kind of say stuff, something positive.
Yeah.
As a compliment to someone, and everyone in the audience laughs. You go, why are you laughing? You're all looking worse than me, if you think that's funny. It's thinking me saying, oh, you're a really good song. It's not. It wouldn't make me feel good if I'd written that song. Someone said, good song, and everyone laughed. So, it's weird.
So you just come across as sarcastic, is that what you're saying? Well,
I think so. Well, I do anyway. Yeah, so I think that's the problem. Yeah.
You do a little bit. So yeah. you were out in Australia in the spring this year, where you win and you won, because this is unusual for you. You actually won the award.
I didn't win anything.
Did you not?
I won something in New Zealand.
Oh, that's why that doesn't count, does it?
But that was Melbourne didn't even get nominated. It was weird.
It's weird.
Weird feeling. I didn't like it.
Because you've been nominated three times in a row for the Edinburgh Comedy Award, whatever they call that now.
Yeah.
I think they've called it the Richard Herring Award. Just
they do call it that.
Out of respect for...
Unofficially, they call it that. Yeah. They go, every year, they go, well done. In the Herrings again.
And Al Murray was nominated three times for that award in a row. And then I think won it the fourth time.
He did, yes.
So is it you're hoping that next year will be your year?
No.
No.
I think I would be insane to wish that on myself again. you have... I mean, it's fine. It's nice now to be able to go, three times in a row. But... it's a hellish month of everyone going, is it this year? Are you going to do it this year? And you're going, I haven't entered anything. I've come here with a show to do my show to people because I think it's funny. And then everyone's like, oh. Like at the end of this Fringe, the Times, I'll say Alex Hardy for the Times, just put me on the front cover of the Times magazine as a sad clown, which is a photo that existed anyway.
Yeah, well, you walked into that one.
That photo. Shit, anything you do, you've always got to think about how journalists are going to use it to crap on you. But like, I had a picture of me as a sad clown. Let's just put it as the main photo on the front cover of the Times magazine with Better Luck Next Year across it. And you're going, that wasn't... She was on the panel as well. Yeah. And you're like, that's not... I didn't enter... This isn't me going, I'm going to win, everyone, and announce it and going, watch this, I'm going to win it. And then going there, you go, oh, I think this show's funny. I hope people think it's funny and come and see it. I'm trying to get better as a comedian. And then they go, she goes, no, try again next year. You go, what, three times in a row? I can't try again.
If you ever kill yourself whilst dressed as a clown, they're going to use that picture.
They'll use it. They will love it so much.
That'll be great. Go, look, is there a picture of him looking sad? There's a picture of him dressed as a clown. It's like, brilliant.
Double whammy. Better luck next life. Unlucky mate.
So, I saw you on... I was talking about this backstage, but I saw you on Mock the Week last week. Was that your first time on Mock the Week?
It was. Yeah, first time.
It was a very confident debut.
Thank you.
It was very, and I thought it was quite... I don't really watch Mock the Week very often, and I only chanced across it. It was quite interesting because there was like three newer, and I'd say newer comics, but kind of established on the stand-up circuit, but newer to TV. So there was you and Josh Widdicombe and Sarah Pascoe.
Yeah.
And then there was the old guard.
Sure.
And felt to me like there was a sort of slight, was there a tension in the studio between the different, the older comedians and the young comedians? Because it felt to me, watching it, that I'll say this because I know all of them, the older comedians were doing quite hack and obvious jokes, and then the young comedians were coming in and doing their good stuff, and the older comedians like going, oh fuck, they're gonna replace us with these people who can actually do proper jokes that aren't just work to a formula. Is that how it felt to you in the studio?
What do you want me to say to that, Rich? Genuinely, it did not feel like that in the studio at all. Felt like a kid on his first day of school. They're very mock the week, because there's a lot of, like, you know, you start off here, then you go over there and you do a bit of stand up and then you come back and then this happens. So there's a run through in the daytime where I felt like a little kid who was just there for the first time. Yeah. Looking at
there's a run through. Yeah, I thought the whole thing was just ad lib.
Yeah, well, it is all improvised, but so I was just kind of like, also I felt like the worst kind of kid on a first day at school, because I knew Josh and Sarah. So I think if you go to a different school, do you know someone, you kind of glum onto them all day, just like, ah. And I felt like that. I was like in the run through, looking over at those guys, like, and hey, and so I looked even lamer. And everyone was very nice and welcoming. And I know Ed Byrne anyway; he's always been like, nice to me. And the other guys, I'd never met them before, is great. So I felt it is the most I've enjoyed, I think, doing a panel show, and I've enjoyed a lot of them. But like that one. Because you're all comics and you're in a little semicircle as well. You're not at opposite ends of the room. And I thought, because of, like, you know, and they know it's got this reputation as well, because they say it to you as soon as you go there. Like, you heard it's really competitive and really alpha male and all this. And actually, it was the least like that I've ever done of anything. It was just
I think it's changed. Because I actually stopped watching because I didn't like it. It was too... Yeah. I just didn't like that alpha male-esque thing that happens backstage at a lot of... used to at comedy clubs, that everyone's trying to outdo each other. Yeah. And now it seems a lot more accepting, to be fair. I am being... It's like you were doing... You did a very good bit of observational comedy about cheese grater. It was very good. And it just kept on... It bit cut to, like...
Thank you very much for watching.
Cut to Hugh Dennis going... And so it just made me think, he's thinking, oh, fuck. Is there he can do, like, proper comedy?
It was nice. It was, and also, I think, like, you know, obviously, on the record, everyone seemed to be having as good a one as anyone else.
Yeah.
And it is just, I think, it's just that now they're mixing up the genres of comedy a bit.
Yeah.
So you will watch it and go, those three look stupid. You know, but someone else will be watching it going, these three new kids are a bunch of shit. And I like the old guys. And it's like, it's just a bit more of a mixture, which allows you to find your place in that world and do it. And just go, where do I fit in here?
No, of course. You know? It is good. And with, in all seriousness, I mean, I think that it's the problem with a lot of these panel shows have existed for a long time. And there's a lot of people with their feet comfortably under the desk and, you know, don't have to try as hard. So new people will come on and try hard. And it'll be, it just shows with something like that, that you don't necessarily even have to have the regular... You know, I'm not saying Andy Parsons and Hugh Dennis should never be on it again.
Mm.
But... not saying that. But if they were on every other week, then it wouldn't... It's a lot of... It's difficult to go in every week and do, you know, to do that stuff. You could... Yeah. If you were in every week, you would go, oh, I've used up my cheese grater routine now. I'll have to do the apple and the orchard one. And I'll apricot
slowly
one.
Slowly burn through until I'm doing just, like, yeah, Yoko Ono material that I thought I'd never do on TV. It would be quite hard. And, like, I mean, you know, like the stand-up round was just me and Josh.
Yeah.
And it used to be there was six of them all going up and doing a bit of stand-up. And now, and this is weird to have just me and my mate, who 3 years ago we did a free Fringe show together and no one came to. He's there going, ah, this is fun. But yeah, there was no... So I think, yeah, there's less of that going on now.
Cool. And you have been... We talked about... Jay-Z Long was on, and we talked about a car crash that she had, which you were in.
Responsible for.
I was trying to...
Oh, so I was driving.
But you've had three car crashes?
Three car crashes that people should have died in, yeah.
Were they all your responsibility?
All of them were my fault, yeah. All of them was me. I fucked up and,
Where did the Josie Long car crash come in, the triumvirate?
Third.
It was the third one.
Each one got worse than the one before it. To the point where, like, yeah, the one with Josie, I remember just standing by the side of the road just going, oh, I've really got to stop driving because, like... That car is buried in logs, and there's a log lorry there that's upturned. And the driver of that lorry was very—he was the only person who's ever got angry at me as well. After the other car crashes, the other times I've made people crash, they've all been quite nice to me. But like that one, the guy kind of—he got out and he couldn't get to me because there was a sea of logs in between me and him. So he just did a very clever trick where he just went, "Are you okay, guys? Which one's the driver?" And I went, "Oh, it's me." And he was like, "You're a fucking cunt, mate." And I was like, oh, I walked into that so bad. And, and obviously Josie was there going, that's not very nice, is it? And I'm like, I'll be nice to him.
Accurate. So you tried to overtake, yeah. you tried to overtake quite a long log lorry.
Yeah.
And there wasn't room to do it, and you had to sort of pull into the log lorry.
Yeah, well,
which then dragged you by the time
we got to the corner, we still hadn't overtaken the lorry, and four cars came around the corner head on with us. So I had to steer in between the cars and the lorry. Yeah. And the car at the front of that went into a ditch, and I remember being by the side of the road and seeing a man coming out of the car, and they gave him a Zimmer frame, and then he was losing that to walk, and I was like, oh Jesus. And then a policeman went, don't worry, you already needed that.
Which you could sort of assume from the fact that he had a Zimmer frame.
Yeah, but for, you know, in your head at the time when you're in shock.
I'm glad I put that Zimmer frame in the car in case of accidents, being crippled.
I was in a weird position where I was like, oh good, I'm glad that all I did was make a disabled man crash his car. That's no harm done. If you could all come to the accident pre-injured, it'd make me feel a lot better.
At what point after the car crash with Josie did you say, who's going to do the routine about this car crash? How long was it?
Pretty much, I didn't say anything. I thought, I'm never going to do this as comedy material. And then I was, we were literally in the car on the way back from the crash, and she went, can I do this? As a thing? Yeah, if you want, you psycho. Yeah. And then on my way home from that car crash, I got in a train to go back to Kettering, and my train nearly derailed because it hit a fallen log. That's what happened. And
it rolled down the hill.
It was like it had just been rolling ever since the crash, and then our train. But when the train started to derail, when the train nearly derailed, it started shaking, and I knew it was nearly derailing because I've been in a train that's derailed before. When me and Josh Whittaker were on a train to Leicester, and our train, the wheels just dropped out the train, just fell off the train, and the whole train just went onto the ground, and for about 5 minutes was just going really fast on the ground, so all these stones and rocks were arching over the train and smashing the windows, and then it stopped, and then we were delayed for 5 hours because we were waiting for a rescue train, and then the rescue train got there at night, so they had to go to the fire brigade, and then that took another hour, and then the fire brigade and the rescue train people argued about what side of the train to evacuate us on. That was another hour, and it's awful. And I remember getting on the rescue train and seeing a guy go to we got on, and then we were told the buffet was free on the rescue train. It was free. So I saw a guy go on, and his wife was right at the end of the carriage, and he went on, and he got a free Stella, and then he turned around to his wife and pointed at it and went, yeah, like, it's like, mate, it was not worth it, your whole day's ruined. He's like, free booze, I told you. I love rescue trains.
And what were the other two? Were the other two car crashes? No one's died in any of these.
No fatalities, no injuries.
Right.
Apart from the pre-injured. The second car crash I had. The first car crash was 8 days after I passed my driving test, and my parents' Ford Fiestas went too fast around a corner on some back roads, and just like pinballed it against a hedge for a bit until it didn't work anymore. I was balancing on two wheels at one point during that, the two right wheels, and just doing that and kind of going, I know that if this car rolls, I'm going to break my neck because it's a Ford Fiesta. I was just getting ready for, well, it's going to go that way and I'm going to die. And then it went back on four wheels again. I was very relieved. And then the second time was the first car, or the only car I've ever owned, and it was when I was in a band, and we had our very last gig, which was in North Yorkshire, and we had a very long drive home, and about 20 minutes from home on a dual carriageway, I fell asleep and smashed into a lorry going at 80 miles an hour. Zero fatalities. But that one was pretty bad as well. That one was like no front and back to the car at the end, and all the windows exploded, and we lost our bongo. It's pretty gutting.
So you're sort of Frank Spencer, but Uncharmed though as well.
It's like Final Destination kind of.
No one dies.
No one dies. Yeah, Final Destination people die, don't they?
Well, they do. But that might, if it's Final Destination, they might start dying in the order they should have died.
Yeah.
Though to be fair, it would only be the first car you crashed, and that would be the case, which would be you.
Me. Oh, and there was actually two other people eventually involved in that. When there's like, yeah, I was, my car stopped in the middle of the road, yeah, and two cars were coming very fast, one towards me, one behind me. Okay. And then they both saw me at the last minute, went to overtake and hit each other.
Why are you okay. allowed to drive again?
I'm not letting myself drive anymore.
Is there not a point when Joe said, do you want to drive on the tour? You went, no, I won't do that.
Now I say no. Yeah. But for that one, I was like, I've only crashed twice. And I'm not going to crash again.
So, you're out of averages.
Yeah, it'd be fine. I probably won't crash. And the weird thing is that when I'm not crashing, I'm very safe. Like, I'm a really safe driver. I'm very cautious and careful. So I didn't really think, oh, it'll happen. And also, it was annoying because it was the first time I'd driven since the last time I'd crashed was Josie's tour, because my insurance had gone back to normal by then.
Right.
You had to, like, wait 3 years. Here's a little trick you can do. When you do write your car, just don't drive for 3 years and it goes back to normal. Yeah, I really know all the loopholes. So it was really annoying. And then I was like, yeah, okay, I should stop, because every time I've attempted to drive for a bit, it's ended in this. So let's leave it now.
Be nice to, but you know, be nice to do one where someone died, though, wouldn't it? Just once.
No.
Oh, okay. That's just
I always think that's why I like driving. If I did do one and anyone got injured or died, that feels bad enough as it is, I guess. But let alone when you kind of go, you have to answer the people going, have you ever had anything like this happen to you before? Yeah, I've had about 3 warning shots before this. And then I just decided to carry on anyway and I killed that guy. Oh, it could have been avoided, very much so. But I don't want to get on trains because they're not very safe either. So
you worked at Wicksteed Park, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir, yes.
Is that in Kettering?
That is in Kettering. It's,
I don't really know Wicksteed Park.
One of the country's first theme parks.
Oh, is it?
Roller coasters. I was on Drinks and Ice Creams.
Okay.
I was just on in the Oak Tree.
Well, they don't want to let you near the roller coaster for guys.
Driving that. Yeah. Hey, Cassie, you got a pretty good sense of direction. So I was doing. I just drink fizzy drinks and eat ice creams all day.
Right.
It was very quiet when I worked there. I was in the off season, and there was two hatches, one for ice creams, one for drinks. And there was ice blasts, which are like fizzy slush puppies, and then the actual fizzy drinks. So I spent all day mixing them to see what the combo was best. And I'd go onto the ice creams and just eat ice cream all the time. And I don't know how I've not got diabetes. It's ridiculous. But that was my first job, £3 an hour.
That's not bad.
It was pretty bad.
But, you do 10 hours, 30 quid.
Yeah, sure. That's good maths. Excellent maths there. I should have, I didn't work that out at the time. But it's me, Sanjan Chen. I mean, my first day there, thinking that that's when I realised. You think, I don't know about you, but my whole life I was like, I am going to do something creative. There's no way I'm going to do a normal job.
Yeah.
And I had that in my head all the time. So I put off getting a proper job for as long as I could. My mum made me get the Wicksteed Park job. And she said, it would be fine, you'll enjoy it. So I've been so silly about like what I wanted to do and stuff. I'm like, fine. I went, and the first day, Chetan showed me around the Oak Tree. And we got to the hot drinks machine. And he went, so you put like tea in there and coffee. And this is the hot chocolate powder. It comes in a packet and you open it up. And one time, right, I opened it up and all the hot chocolate puffed in my face. And then later on, I sneezed. It tasted like chocolate. And I remember thinking, I do not want a normal job. I can't. I can't become like that. If that becomes my main story, that I tell people, this time I sneezed and it tasted like chocolate. I kill myself. I can't do it. So yeah, it was really, really pushed me to.
That is the kind of, well, sometimes when you watch old Bullseyes or stuff like that, those kind of quiz shows where they ask people about, you know, they have one funny story and it is something like that, and you kind of think, fuck, that's the only story you have from your entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go on, they won't be able to do the quiz. Just going through the accident.
Let me tell you a funny story, Jim.
You were born in 1985.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, I was.
Fucking hell.
Who just made a sound there?
I could have had sex by then.
He's shaking his head.
I could be
Here's
your dad.
Here's the thing, right? I don't
sex.
Get. I don't understand. This thing is, every time you say when people were born, it's like, oh god, he was born in. As if you didn't know people were born in 1985. That's a thing, mate. Everyone, there's not a year in history where it was like everyone take a break for a year. If you're pregnant, hold it in.
Just feels like, to me and that elderly gentleman there...
Sure. Just deal with it, mate.
Anyone born in 1985 would be about six now. Yeah. That's what it feels like. So if you be sitting here, probably 17 years old,
yeah,
is making, like, no one can do maths in this audience.
Yeah, they can't.
They're
like,
actually, yeah, oh, no, he must be.
He's 17.
Yeah, he must be 17. He's born in 1985, yeah, he's 17.
sitting here all pubed up in front of you.
It's terrifying. I didn't have sex till 1987.
Oh, really?
So, you know, you're a couple
I remember those first 2 years of my life were very dull and boring, and then yeah, the world changed.
It did.
And I was two.
A crossover.
Everyone seemed happier.
There was a crossover where we were both virgins, and that is something that should not have happened in any
way. We had so
universe.
Much in common those first 2 years.
Talking of sex, I have been to the Britcom, Dirty Britcom Confessions website. Have you seen this website?
I know of this website, you know, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Brendan Burns, not on it.
Not even,
and he's not British, but there's a non-British section.
Yeah.
No one wants to have sex, despite his claims that he looks like Matthew Broderick and that he used to be really sexy. Nobody. I mean, and I tell you, there are some right... ugly cases.
There's
on there.
Some real surprises on that website. Yeah,
there's a couple. There aren't too many for you, but this is the main one for you.
I should think not.
I'd like nothing more.
Nothing. This is the person's number one thing they would like in life,
all of their life, than to go shopping for jumpers with James A. Kestner.
This is a dirty confession,
this,
is it?
This is a dirty. It gets dirty towards the end.
Yeah,
and then wrap ourselves in knitwear and cuddle up to watch stupid movies all night.
Yep.
And then I'd like to fuck him.
Sounds about right.
That's what he's building up.
That's what I'd do. I want to go shopping for jumpers together.
Yeah.
Which is not my idea of a good time. And then snuggle up in knitwear. Is that like we're both wearing jumpers, or we've made a little nest of jumpers and we're just all cocooned in there?
I don't know. I guess it's up to you to iron that out with the person you're doing this.
Yeah, she's the one making the... I should get
or
to call
he,
the shots.
We don't. It could be a he.
Could be a he. Who knows? They'd like to fuck me.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be a he. Yeah, I hope so.
Do you hope so?
Well, do you know what? I have a weird thing that whenever like I meet a gay man who says he fancies me, I just feel great.
Okay.
I almost feel like I'm even more liberal.
Yeah.
Because gay men fancy me.
They haven't looked at you and discounted you as you're that man's clearly homophobic and wouldn't have sex with me.
Unless that's the turn on, but like, you know.
Some of them like that.
Some of them do, don't they? Some of them love it. But I always like it.
When so I maybe. First met Paul Sinner,
yeah.
He said to me, I used to really fancy you. And I said, what changed?
Yeah. what did change?
What went wrong? I don't know. He didn't have an answer to that. It was quite embarrassing.
Yeah. It was that. Did he fancy you until 1987?
Until you lost your virginity.
He's been done now.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'll ask you an emergency question because things went wrong for me there when I went.
Oh really?
So, do you ever get mistaken for a different celebrity? Have you ever been mistaken for someone else who is famous?
Only Josh.
Really, you and Josh?
Yeah,
Whittigan.
I've been mistaken for Josh Whittigan before. He'll be at comedy clubs, so they've seen me do a gig, and so they've gone, "Oh, it's a comedian. Oh, I've seen him before." And they come up to me afterwards, and it's always like takes me a while to realise they've mistaken me. So like, I'll be loving the compliments, going, "Mate, you're brilliant. I've seen you loads now. So I see, you're really great on all your TV stuff." And then they'll go, "Oh, I really love you on The Last Leg." Oh, it's not me. So yeah, sometimes, but it's only ever Josh. It's because they see me do stand up, and then on What the Week, actually, my 2-year-old nephew watched it with his dad, and apparently, as soon as he saw me, it was like Uncle James. But then for the whole episode, confused me with Josh for the whole thing.
Bad.
We get very confused for the whole thing. So,
To me, you look a little bit like a young Rod Hull. Have you ever been mistaken for a young Rod Hull?
Yeah. Well, see, it's born in 1985. I don't know who that is, mate. No, I've never been mistaken for a young Rod Hull.
Go around with an emu.
Yeah, it'd be weird
if
people
you're walking around with an emu
on a roof.
Yeah,
but like no one's ever said to me, "Are you a young Rod Hull?" Because that would. There's so much that they would have to be assuming there.
Yeah.
mean, and also I'd have to break it to them. It'd be awful, wouldn't it? Go, like, you came back somehow.
Could have cloned him, because a clone is not like a direct copy. A clone would be, yeah. You cloned Rod Hull. You could do it now if you could find some of Rod Hull's DNA.
Which, yeah, where would that be, Mitch?
Maybe.
Go on.
Trapped in some amber.
Yeah. Somewhere. Yeah. A mosquito.
Yep. You could take that out and you would make it. If you made a Rod Hull clone, it wouldn't be like a 60-year-old man running around on a roof. It would be a baby.
That's not what he did, is it? He just always went around on roofs, just like from roof to rooftop, like a thief in the night.
Who knows?
But when he died, it's like, well, it was going to happen sooner or later. We told him it was only a matter of time before he fell off one of these roofs.
Or another way he could have cloned himself was to have sex with your mum in 1984.
Bang my mum, yeah. Well, you know, that would definitely not happen. She is a saint. And also, although she is a bird lover. She does like bird watching and stuff like that. So he could have seduced her. Like, yeah, just like lure her in with the emu. And then,
he
like,
came in with the emu, she'd go, oh.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Killers. And I've been looking, and then probably, yeah, like, should just take him off for a while, just to like whatever, readjust, and then just be his cock.
And he had quite an impressive, by all accounts.
Did he?
Yeah.
Quite, did he? By all accounts, an impressive cock.
Who
did you hear that from?
There's all sorts of, I have met Rod Hull, and he was a bit of a ladies' man. Let's say, if he hadn't fallen off that roof, he might be in the papers now for a different
reason. Right, yeah, sure.
But there was a documentary, they were all in the 1970s, it didn't matter what you did.
Yep.
As long as you were on TV, it didn't matter how ugly you were. I'm not saying Rod Hull's ugly.
Sure, mate, thanks. Just keep it going.
I was thinking of some of the other ones.
Some people want to go jumper shopping with me, so bear that in mind.
Didn't matter if your job was to run around squeezing the testicles of small boys with your hand covered in a bird costume.
Yep.
You would, women were interested in you, would have sex with you, and then you became the king of that domain and assumed all women want to have sex with you. That is my theory.
Yeah.
The 1970s and 1980s.
That's about right.
Sometimes incorrectly. You know, if they'd all thought to have like a puppet on the end of their hand, more of them would have got away with it.
A lot of them did. It's quite a lot of, puppets were a lot more common back then. So I think a lot of them probably did do that.
Was
it Gordon the Gopher, Ed the Duck?
For me, the ventriloquists and the puppeteers, because Rod Hull isn't even a ventriloquist, that's the...
No, well, he just pecked
people. Or he could just do that. That was his...
He didn't even talk, did it?
Didn't talk.
It's just nasty. Just a way of...
The thing he learnt was to do... I mean, that's the skill. Was...
Yeah.
That's essentially what his job was. It was very funny. I loved
it. It would have been out of order for him to just have an act where occasionally he punched people. just been standing there like that with his arm.
It was Parkinson and he just came and on him. It would have been awful.
Well, he got Parky, didn't he?
But like Ted Rogers, again, before your time.
Yeah,
that was his job. That was what he could do. It was very easy to get on the TV in the 1980s, 1970s.
Very clever. Very clever.
Anything hand-based, people were very...
Yeah.
Just people couldn't... In the night, people just
what was that one you did?
Couldn't believe it.
Is that the emu again?
That's that's Ted Rogers.
Oh, hold on. Ted Rogers. Yeah. What's the puppet?
That's emu.
What's the puppet Ted Rogers has?
He didn't have it. That was there. We didn't even have a puppet.
Three, two, one. Did him 3-2-1.
Did. I mean, if he put a puppet on that, he might have got 15 years out of 3-2.
Yeah.
It was like there was a little
just doing that
gerbil jumping around. He could only have the dexterity
unscrewing a light bulb.
You just need three. You could have three different holes inside the puppet.
Yep.
And then do and then be
each three could be.
It could have been like an expressive, amazing puppet. You could have done
two arms and a face.
Did you ever meet, when you were a kid, because I was thinking I talked about it in this one of the other podcasts, but I met Don Estelle when I was a kid.
Congrats.
He was from Ain't Half Hot Mum, before your time. And I was rude to him, and I met Ted Rogers and was rude to him.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet anyone in the...
Any celebrities?
1996.
Yeah.
It could be me, couldn't it? That's the terrifying thing. To you, I am Rod Hull.
Yeah.
And to the,
you're the
police force of 2035. I am...
Me and my mates are just like, why doesn't anyone know? It's clear what he's up to.
Did you ever... Because when you get to be sort of a teenager, you start getting a bit kind of, oh, I've someone off the TV, and then you meet them in real life, and then you're rude to them. Did you ever do that? Because I did it to two different celebrities.
I was never rude to any of them. No. I was quite... I waited outside Curry House in Kettering for... an hour to get Barney from Napalm Death's autograph.
Okay.
There you go. So a little bit of a cheer. Very nice man. Very polite man. Very polite. And I met Jet from Gladiators. And she was very she was very cool. But no one would be rude to Jet from Gladiators.
You might be just.
But now she does the. She's like a head psychologist on Big Brother. Did you know that?
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
She's Big still Brother. Called Jet.
She's still called Jet. And just scissors everyone. But like. Trying to learn about the housemates. It's really inappropriate, Diane.
I didn't know that.
I met Jet as well.
Where did you meet Jet from Gladiators?
North Walsham County Fair.
Okay.
Yeah, her and Hunter, but I left that out because Cobra. It was Cobra. Cobra who used to lift weights on his dick. Did you know that?
What, during the fair?
Not during the fair. But that was what he did before he was a gladiator. Yeah, a lot of them have their stories of what they were doing beforehand. Some of them were like Olympians and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he just used to...
He wasn't an Olympian. No. He wasn't the Olympics.
He just used to be part of a freak show where he lifted weights with his dick.
Oh, was he?
He got in gladiators off the back of it. Don't know where the gladiator scouts were going to get there. Yeah, she's an Olympian. I was going to top on in this freak show, see if they got any... He's impressive. I can think of a good name for him. Cobra. Right on.
Could be. If you had to choose between going on a date and having full sex at the end of the date with a man who was a 6-foot penis, but dressed up as a man, and he had he had eyes in his head,
but
he is still a penis. If you looked at the top of his head, he might be wearing a wig, but at the top of his head is a blowhole.
Yep. Technical term, is it? A blowhole? Depends what you're doing with it.
It is in this circumstance. He might be wearing a suit where he looked like he had shoulders, but if you took off the suit, it would just be like a Rod Hull false arm.
A false illusion. Arm?
Yeah, it'd be a false shoulders and false arm.
A cock.
So it's just basically
is he circumcised?
It's a good question. No, he's not, because he's from the UK.
Not circumcised.
So he's got like
a big foreskin there.
Yeah. Or you could, pull that down.
Like, just goes up and down.
As a roll neck jumper.
Okay. Where are his eyes?
Obviously, he's got a human face in
the... Where's the human face? Because if the human face is on the foreskin, then if it peels back, his face is gone.
It's underneath the foreskin.
It's underneath the foreskin, but then he's got to have it peeled down all the time. Otherwise, when it goes up, he can't see.
It keeps it peeled down.
Well, you can't always keep it peeled down.
You can.
You can't always.
If he's riding up, he pulls it down.
Always constantly readjusting his foreskin. Always.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Constantly pulling his foreskin back in front of you when you're talking to him so he can see.
Oh. If he's erect, it's fairly down out of the way, isn't it?
I mean, well, yeah, so he's got to always be aroused. Because what if he's sleepy?
Well, he wouldn't be sleepy on the date if you kept him entertained. If he starts shrinking on the date, you know you're having a bad time.
Yeah. So I guess when he is sleepy, it's okay, isn't it? Because he can just have a little sleep, like just pull it up and have a little sleep inside the foreskin and then put it back down again when he wakes up.
That is the first choice. Okay. Or just a regular man.
Normal man.
But instead of... He looks completely normal, but when he takes down his trousers, it turns out instead of a penis, he has another tiny man.
A tiny little man.
In place of his penis, but not his...
Attached to his...
His balls are still there, but his penis has not been replaced.
Yeah.
It's just the way he's grown. Another tiny human being.
Little boy.
5 to 9. No, it's a grown man.
Right.
It's fine. No, we're not getting anything seedy here.
I'm just trying
He's probably 5 to 8 inches high on average.
Okay.
But he's a little man. And he's not like a clone. He's not like you and Ruttall.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a different man. Maybe they got fused together in the womb somehow.
Is he going out from... Is his feet the bit that's attached or his head?
Yeah, I'm not going to have it so it's a man. His head's
what? Because that'd be stupid.
Yeah. Kind of monster.
Why would that be silly?
Yeah. Just his legs in. No one's going to want that, are they? Like a man...
Well, no one's going to want it anyway.
No
one's going to want anything about to do with that.
Out of the choice, you might want it between the two. It's like two different men. You've got the man you can talk to and then his little friend.
We've always found a sub-question in it. Would you rather have it attached by the head or attached by the feet?
We'll ask that next week.
But if it's attached by the head, then if he gets strong enough, he could walk around with him just on his head sometimes. So he could get a chance. It's his turn to walk around. And he could be walking around with a guy on his head and goes, he's attached to me, actually. Just have it like that.
Okay.
I don't know why it always has to be like he'd be delighted to be attached by the feet and have his head just sticking out there all day, not ever being in charge. You're helpless, aren't you?
Yeah. It's a good point. So which of the two would you prefer, the giant penis foreskin?
Sure.
Yeah, or the man with the tiny man. Either way,
I think I would definitely prefer the tiny man for a dick because you've got... If you're going on a date with them and stuff, you have... More people you can maybe hit it off with.
Yeah.
If you don't get on with the big guy, you might get on with the little guy and think, oh, he's pretty cool. And then you can continue to see him on dates. Whereas with the man with the who's a penis and pulls his foreskin down a lot, it's down to him having an amazing personality. Otherwise, it's going to be a horrible evening. So I would rather go for the two. Oh, also, the man who's the little man penis.
Yeah.
Is he facing down or is he facing up? Can they make eye contact or not?
He can do that.
Just look over his shoulder all the time. But are they like, when he... Also, when he gets erect, what happens? Does he actually get erect? Does the little man fill with blood? Does the little man get all full with blood and hard?
I think it would be very hard to get erect if you had a tiny man. I think you'd be embarrassed.
Does a tiny man have a tiny cock? Or does he have an even tinier man?
Substitutory question was going to be, what if the tiny man has, instead of a penis, also has a tiny man and so on to infinity? Also then you look, step back a bit from the normal man and realise he is in turn the penis of an even bigger, gigantic man.
Who I just live on and I didn't realise.
It's like an island, it's like Gulliver's Travels or something.
Yeah.
You haven't realised you're walking on the other guy who is in turn and so on to infinity, cock of another even bigger man. And
it goes
all the way round until the really biggest one is the cock of the tiniest man.
In the world.
Yeah, in the
progression. It's just a circle. It just eats itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that sounds horrible. I mean, that's nothing in that I'd like.
It'd be scary, though, wouldn't it? That's why
very scary.
You've chosen that one, and then it's only later you realise.
Yeah, but there's always going to be a clause. I mean, I would think going on a date with either of those people, there's a catch. I think this is too good to be true. It can't just be that he's got a little man cock. There's got to be something else going on here. And I'd find out later on, is this the infinite men cock? So, oh, yeah, of course it is. Of course. But how do you even satisfy him?
Well, who cares?
Well, I do. I'm quite a considerate lover.
As long as you're turned on by it yourself, that is all that matters to be.
And there's no question about that.
Okay. Where do you get your crazy ideas from?
That's not the real question. That's not...
Have you never been asked that question before, have you?
No, I've never been asked that, no. Well, it doesn't usually follow the man cock question. Usually.
I'm looking at you thinking, how do you think up the stuff you think up?
Yeah.
With my crazy man cock. Okay, we won't ask you that, really. Nav, that's all I've got for you.
That's it.
Done the dirty Britcom confessions. If you haven't seen James live, go and see him live. Are you one of the 110 comedians touring at the moment?
Yeah, I am indeed.
Off the back of your Mock the Week success, what chance have I got against youngsters like you?
Yeah, unlucky sucker.
Yeah. Go and see him live. Where are you on tour right now? Or
I am right now on tour.
Until so, when?
Until early December.
Okay. Nice.
JamesAcaster.com for tickets.
Well, I noticed on your website that your news refers to a gig you cancelled in Oldham in 2013.
Yeah, that is
that's the last
the
piece of
only
news
time
that happened in your life.
I've ever been on there.
Yeah,
to do news is like, oh, I've got to cancel a gig. that like it was a tour show that like had sold about five.
That's what I guess. So I read between the lines. I didn't want to ask you about it because it says due to unforeseen circumstances. And I thought
there was something else, but I can't remember what it was. But like, okay. It was one of those things where I could have moved the other thing around.
Yeah.
But I was like, how many people in Oldham? Five. Can we cancel it, please?
Yeah.
This is unforeseen.
Don't go to Oldham. That's what I've learned.
I ever gigged in Oldham when I was in a band, and they followed us out to the car park and booed us out of the car park. Yeah.
That's weirdly quite nice and polite, though, compared to what they could do. I mean, I've done gigs where they followed you out to the car park because they want to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
But to go, just follow you out and go...
They just...
Boo!
Carried on booze. Fuck off. And it's saying fuck off and stuff like that. But like, yeah, it was just in the car with them all kind of like surrounding us and like the Beatles, but people don't like you at all. So yeah, for our whole gig that night, we were just getting abuse shouted at us. They hated us.
What was your band? What kind of music was the band you were in?
That band was an experimental kind of jazz pop band.
Okay.
Funnily enough, Oldham.
Oldham wasn't ready
for it. Did not like it. Yeah. So like, but it was silly as well. But like, we used to go on stage with like these homemade outfits that had like yellow Velcro ties onto, that came off of the t-shirt and went on them, and there's like loads of different shakers and a didgeridoo and stuff like that. And there was two of us playing loads of different instruments. We thought it was fun, but people who didn't like it got very cross that we were just like ruining their Friday night when they wanted to dance or something, and where they're doing stupid time changes and pauses and stuff like that and being smart asses.
Yeah.
They didn't like it at all.
And what were other bands were you in? It sounds like you're in lots of bands.
Yeah, before that I was in a folk funk band called the Capri Sun Quartet. Very good band. Before that I was in a post-hardcore band called Freeline Whip. And before that I was in the New Hardcore Skiffle Movement, which is a punk band. Before that, I was in Pin Drop, which is a new metal band. They're all my bands.
It's pretty impressive. Were you doing comedy at the same time as this, or were you concentrating on your music?
That's all I wanted to do was be in a band, and I started stand up. I did a few gigs while I was doing music still, because I was very bored, had a lot of time on my hands, so I thought I'll do some adrenaline things that like I can always say I've done them. So I did a skydive and stuff like that. I did some stand up just like so I could always tell people I did stand up once, and because I didn't care, it was easy.
Yeah,
that's the tip to anyone. If you don't give a shit, it's really easy. I go on and just like not care, and everyone else on the bill will be open mic is really trying hard, and I'll go on and make it up, and I'll be walking off going, ha, 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 so easy, one of those idiots. And then as soon as I decided to try, I had the worst death. It was so bad. And Holly Walsh was there, and Holly Walsh is my friend now.
Yeah,
but she still reminds me of that gig to this day, saying that it's the worst death she's ever seen.
Wow.
And that when she saw me, she was like, there's no way he's ever going to make anybody out of this. He's so shit. Like, as soon as I tried, it was like so hard.
What were you doing? Do you remember what
was I doing? Do remember what I was doing.
Yeah.
That gig she saw me, I was talking about my second car crash.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I thought I'll go in and talk about that. That'll be funny. And it wasn't funny. And people just thought it was a horrible story. And then I walked off going off. It's first time I've actually tried to plan something, and it went really bad.
It worked all right here tonight when you talked about it.
What was weird about it is that I told my friends about the car crash, and they'd all laughed, and I wasn't trying to be funny with it. So I thought, well, I'm not even trying to be funny with the story. Apparently, it's great. So I'll just go and do it.
See, what you forgot was the comedy rule of three. It only became funny after the third car crash.
Hilarious.
You had to go out and have that car crash.
Josie called dibs.
And that was the moment it all turned. Yeah. Do you believe in conspiracy theories? Have you got any? Because I was reminded when you talked about the Beatles. I was talking about last week about Paul McCartney's not the real Paul McCartney.
I love that one.
A lot of people still believe that. I find
that
hard to believe. Are there any that you believe are true, or that any you believe are...
Have you seen the Meat Free Mondays video?
No.
Paul McCartney. You should watch that. I watched it today. It's amazing. It's him telling people to get involved with Meat Free Mondays.
Right.
But he starts singing a song during it and putting on a very dodgy accent.
Really?
Yeah, like a Jamaican accent.
Okay.
And the video ends with him going, "You can do it right now, please." And it's really weird. It's Paul McCartney doing that. So
have you seen,
make sure
you
watch
Paul McCartney when he was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Because I was really tired last week, and I couldn't sleep, and I just I ended up sort of going through loads of, I think it came from some Paul McCartney song on YouTube. I ended up going through all these Paul McCartney videos, which a lot were about conspiracy theories, but I'd forgotten. One was him on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Heather Mills, where Heather Mills, and it's so weird watching Paul McCartney, A, being on something as stupid as that, and B, all the way through you're going, Just give them the money.
Don't do the
questions.
Yeah.
Oh, you've won £32,000.
Yeah.
Oh, like less than I've earned in the last 40 minutes just sitting in my arms.
Yeah. Who gives a shit? But wasn't even using his lifelines, didn't care. Just blazing through. I was taking a guess. I don't give a shit.
It's very, very bizarre.
How much are you giving him? A million? Stingy bastard, Tarrant.
Very odd to see him. I mean, there was a lot of things that were wrong with the Heather Mills-Paul McCartney marriage, but her persuading him to go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Because he did so little TV. In the 1970s, 1980s, he was renowned for never doing interviews.
Yeah.
And then suddenly for him to be doing something like that.
Watch Meat Free Mondays. I don't believe in any conspiracy theories, really.
No.
I spent... a weekend with some conspiracy theorists recently for a thing, and that was pretty full on. That's pretty full. They were always filming me on their mobile phones because they believe in like just documenting everything in case, because people don't act up when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And they were protesting fracking as well.
Yeah.
They were in a camp by the side of the road next to a fracking site, and there was a point where loads of police came down. And they were like, all the anti-frackers came out with their phones, were filming the police and right in their faces going, "What are you doing here, officer?" And were filming their taser and all this and going, "This is what they want, it's what they're doing." And then I asked one of the anti-frackers, "Why are they here then, the police?" And he said, some youths went past with cameras filming us, so one of us phoned the police. So why are you asking them why they're here? It's like, why are they doing it? You phoned them. Why, they got a taser. You said there was threatening behaviour. They come down to protect you and you pranked them. There's no way they're going to help you out now. So, you come up against that kind of thing, you kind of go, oh, maybe not going to be a conspiracy theorist. But I totally got it. Like, I was hanging out with them and go, oh, yeah, they're loving this. Like, they weren't all conspiracy theorists, but those that were really enjoyed. Like, there was one guy was telling one of the young lads, like, go to the end of that field, take some walkie-talkie, and, like, tell me if you see anything weird. And I was like, that's great fun. They really enjoyed it. They could tell they were like, I'll go there and I'll radio you. And like, if me and you went to a field tomorrow and I said, "Rich, I genuinely believe, like, there's police are watching us all the time. You go over there and you do that." And we had that adrenaline going through us all day long. We'd be loving it. The moment we realised we're just two grown men in a field running around with some walkie-talkies going, "All clear here, James," or that, that it would be very sad.
Do you want to do that?
I'll do that with you. We could make like a web series of just me and you going around fields and playing with walkie talkies. Rich, run over there, check the coast is clear. Yeah. And then you just play it, we go, it's fine. Yeah. And it's always fine. It's always fine. It's always fine. It's the whole thing.
How sensitive are your nipples?
Not very, no, disappointingly.
Yeah, it is disappointing.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem fair. Why is that worked out like that? That men, I mean, some men do, though. Some men have really sensitive, womanish nipples that become aroused and are big. And I mean, I'm guessing,
I
haven't really looked too many men's nipples in a state of arousal. Yeah. Why don't we get that? Because mine are now chafed.
Yeah. You chafed to run.
Well, because I was running and I didn't lose them.
Well, you should.
So they're chafed.
Rub them.
Well, yeah, but I sort of like it because at least.
Oh, you enjoy it.
Well, they're
you can
alive
feel them.
At least now. They're, yeah, you know, they feel now.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's very disappointing, isn't it? I had a girlfriend trying to tease my nipples once, and it was the most. I felt like such a letdown.
Yeah.
I was like, there's nothing there. Just
because to
show.
Them, if you do that to them, it's really nice. But if they do it to you, it's just like, stop, get off.
Yeah.
And then there's that moment of embarrassment. And they're going, oh, well, I was trying to be nice. Go, well, it's not nice. It's just weird. Yep. Leave my nipples alone.
And then you're having that kind of debate naked, is it? So it's the worst, isn't it?
When it's wrecked it.
Sitting there naked having a really serious chat about your nipples.
It's not fair, that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm going to find out. That's what I'm going to find out. How are your nipples, Teo? Are they sensitive?
Erect.
Are they erect? Do you play ever play with his nipples? What? I'm not filming you while I ask you. I understand this is a sensitive question.
Have you got a bit of history with these two? Because I've just got here and I don't really...
We met earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Would you ever do... I mean, that's not that perverted. Just, you know, just have a little tweak with them. See, yeah, you give it a go. You like it. That's not fair. I don't like it.
He says he likes it. And you didn't even know that until now. This isn't the kind of environment you want to learn that in, is it? You don't want to learn about his nipples in front of loads of people. They're just as up to speed as you are.
So I'll ask you a couple of... People got annoyed at me last week for not asking the old emergency questions, but I don't think we need them. We've got that penis... Man, that's going to last forever. That will never get old.
Yeah, I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
There's so many scenarios to go. I think you've probably done them all. You've done three more than I could ever have imagined would have come out. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock?
I think, as a teenager, I did. Well, once. And, it was really horrible. Hurt my back. I gave up very quickly. I remember it wasn't like a thing where I was like, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm gonna do this by hook or by crook. But like, I didn't. I kind of went down once and went, that's not happening. No, okay. And then stopped, never tried again.
Good.
God. That question's quite embarrassing anyway, but it's worse when people just listen to you like it's a serious thing. Like when they all just sit there going, okay, well, that's something about you, is it, mate? That's interesting.
What I like about that question is that it started off as an ad-lib thing that I asked everyone, and that was funny for a while.
Yeah.
And then it's become just a thing I really don't like to do. And sometimes
don't like asking it,
I don't enjoy it, and the audience don't particularly enjoy it because they know what's...
So you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But I quite like the discomfort that it creates now. And like when I was talking to Danny Baker, he was amazing. It was really funny. And he's and I asked him, he went, oh, now you've ruined it. Now, why did you have to make it blue? And all? And I was going to, my daughter was going to listen to this, and now she can't listen to it. And it really ruined the podcast for me.
Yeah.
Which makes the podcast way better. I
think
so the fact that people are sitting there listening to this going, he's going to have to, at some point he's going to, especially when it's not a matter for you, because who cares about you?
Yeah.
But when if it's like someone if they say Michael Palin was on or someone like someone I massively respect, come get a fucking grip of who you are, James Acaster. If it's you or Michael Palin, if I have to build up and ask lovely Michael Palin, he's never going to do the podcast, but that's in my dream scenario of it. And then I'm having a lovely time and we're getting on, and Michael Palin's actually going to be my friend.
Yeah,
and we're going to go. I'm going to do that thing James said he would do and that we didn't do, where we go with walkie talkies in a field.
We're going
to
do
and
that.
And then I'll say, Michael, have you ever tried to suck your own cock? And they'll go, but that is great art.
Yep.
So that is... So the fact...
Tracy
Emin.
Because
it's my own discomfort that's the exciting... That people know, he's trapped in a... a maze of his own making. He has made, when he first came up with that, Shane thought, oh, this is brilliant. Yeah. I've got this thing that'll be funny forever. Not seeing into the future. knowing that one day it'll be a millstone around his neck. Yeah. And that, and the people listening at home are thinking all these subconsciously. They haven't, until I've pointed this out, they haven't. You know, because unlike Stuart Lee, I don't explain why my stuff's very clever usually. Sure. I let people work it out for themselves.
Yeah.
it's created a bad atmosphere. That
No, it's too true. Everyone's sitting there going, oh, that's why it's what he does, isn't it?
It is. Right, well, you've got to go and dig it, because I'll ask you one more question. Have you ever seen a ghost?
No. No, I've never seen
really
a ghost.
It'd be really good if you had, because this is the last
It'd be great,
question.
Wouldn't it, if I had
and
seen one.
It would...
I thought our house was being burgled once, and I went downstairs in the night, and I saw a light moving across the bookcase that was like very clear that it was a torch moving across the bookcase. So I got very scared that there was a burglar in the house and woke my parents up and no one was in the house. But I didn't for a second think that was a ghost. But I definitely saw... very clearly, a torch moving across the books, but it was because I was tired.
Was there a torch being shone there?
No, I don't
think
so. Then
that was a ghost. That was the ghost of a torch.
There's a torch ghost.
Yeah.
The torch ghost.
There's no reason why they wouldn't have that.
A little light, just... Yeah.
Like the ghost of a torch that once was.
Batteries had died.
Yeah, and then it came back and went, I remember when I did this.
I used to light up the books.
Yeah.
In the Acaster house.
All right, we'll try one more question because that didn't really work as a final question. So I'll just try.
It's a very. That question is quite.
Hopefully, we'll do better with this one.
Quite a chance.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot? Hopefully, you have, because then that will really be a good. Yeah. I hope you have, because it'll be a really good end to the show.
I've never seen a Bigfoot either, I've never seen a Bigfoot.
For fuck's sake, that was going to be.
So sorry,
what is, this is a new one. What is the worst place you have been sick?
Ah.
Because for me, God, I'll give you some thinking time. The worst place I've been sick is onto my own diarrhea.
For your legs in the toilet?
No, I was once. This is the last time I was really ill, and I was nearly ill in Wales, and it reminded me of this experience, was where this question came from. I woke up. It was my birthday. 6 o'clock in the morning on my birthday. We'd been out and had a big weekend. I was in Ipswich, which made it worse.
Yep.
I thought, I've got to go to the toilet. I went to the toilet, and it was awful diarrhea. And then as the smell of my own diarrhea hit my nostrils, that made me feel a bit nauseous. I thought, well, that's probably... And then I realised I was going to be sick. And there wasn't time. It wasn't time to flush. So I had to turn around and then be sick into the toilet on top of my own diarrhea.
And you hadn't wiped your butt yet?
I don't think I had, but the bum was behind me, so that was...
But still,
and to be honest, by the end of that morning, it was a wonderful release every time I was sick.
Yep.
And I'd go to bed for an hour, and then on the hour, it was like a clock chiming. I would then have the same thing and have this awful sickness for 6 hours in a row until I was bringing up something that didn't look like anything that was ever been inside a human being.
Yep.
I felt like I'd vomited up my own soul.
Yep.
But it was kind of wonderful as well. Have you ever been anything like that?
No. I was sick on the tube on New Year's Eve 5 times on the way home. So that was I just got very, very drunk. I was drinking spicy Dr. Peppers all night, which is just... spice rum and Dr. Pepper.
Oh, God.
And just drinking them all night. And then, and then I went to a different party for midnight and said, and then went, what are you drinking? I said, spicy Dr. Peppers. And then told them what it was. And they went, well, I haven't got any Dr. Pepper. We'll make you something similar. And then gave me, a pink drink. I didn't have a clue what it was.
Right.
Drank that and then instantly felt like I needed to go home. And it was I was living with my girlfriend at the time, and it was our first Christmas together and New Year's together, and she had to go home with me while I was sick. Only in the tunnels, not on the actual carriages, but I'd get off.
Oh, I see.
I'd have to get off a lot, be sick, and then it was awful. It was really, really bad.
This is actually making me feel slightly nauseous. I don't know if I'll ask this question. Charlie Brooke has actually got emetophobia. It's actually the idea of being sick.
Oh, really?
Makes him afraid. Can't stand it.
A few people. My friend's girlfriend is terrified of people being sick.
Right.
So that she can't, if he's going to be sick, she has to pretty much get out of the house.
Yeah.
And so he can puke, and then she comes back in.
Well, on that, I think, It's not, you have to go and do another gig.
I have to go.
We're going to have to end it on that. Do check out James on YouTube and his tour, because it's absolutely fantastic stuff. His stuff about bringing an apple to an orchard is amazing. So check that routine out. Please give a massive round of applause to James Acaster, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for coming. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, James Acaster. The music you're listening to is by Pess. Thanks to Orange Mark at the British Comedy Guide and to Ian Tunes at iTunes. To all the staff at the Leicester Square Theatre, especially Ian Leicester Square, thank you for letting us be in your theatre. To Chris Evans, not that one, not the one from the Avengers, not the Australian politician. It was produced by Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz, gofasterstripe.com and Sky Potato production. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Please help us make more internet content. All of the money you donate to Badgers will go forward to making stuff on the internet, including hopefully a monthly video version of As It Occurs to Me if we can accrue enough money. So if you enjoy these podcasts and think they're worth £1 a month or £2 a month, £5 a month, or just a one-off donation of £1, or whatever you like, go to gofasterstripe.com/badges. If you don't want to pay or you can't play, please just pass these on to your friends if you think they might enjoy them. That is the best thing to do. And come and see me in Lord of the Dance Settee, or come down to the Leicester Square Theatre and see a recording live. It's very exciting.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.